halfway through our show. But right now we are talking about Art Space Sydney, which is the site for Sydney-based artist Taloy Havini's first solo exhibition entitled Reclamation. Exploring notions of ownership, colonization, and the politics of Oceania, Taloy's practice personally responds to the history and culture of the autonomous region of Bougainville using photography, video, and installation. I'm joined now by Taloy in studio to tell me a little bit more about the exhibition. Good morning.
Morning.
So it's quite an intro. So your artistic practice has a strong focus on history and identity in a place where you grew up, which is Bougainville. Can you tell us a bit more about that place and kind of the history of the area, provide a bit of context?
Sure. So Bougainville is part of the Solomon Islands. It's the largest, biggest island of that Solomon Island archipelago. And it sits between, right in Melanesia. People call it Melanesia, being like the darker skinned people of the Pacific. And however, Bougainville was sort of taken over by Papua New Guinea, which Papua New Guinea was a territory of Australia. So it's this strange colonial history that Australia has with Bougainville. And it's even unresolved today in a way. Yeah. So it's a big part of, and I'm also Australian. My mother's Australian. My father's Bougainville. So I'm very much born in Bougainville, live in Australia, live between both places.
And Bougainville's also kind of known, or in terms of the cultural links to the Solomon Islands, where that's where the discovery of copper was in the 1960s. And that also created the development of a Panguna mine, which had kind of significant environmental damage for Bougainville. How is that kind of pollution? I know that you explore that in your work. Can you tell us a little bit more?
Sure. Yeah. So I was born in the 80s in Bougainville. And it was a strange time because my father's generation, there was no mine. And so essentially I grew up in a mining town in Arawa, and that mining town and the mine is built by Australian mining company, Rio Tinto. So, I grew up with lots of Australian kids, their parents were working in the mines, and many ways Australia understands, in Western Australia, you have all over Indigenous-owned land, lots of mining here. So you have lots of fly-in, fly-out workers. In essence, that's what Australia did to Bougainville, and that's what I grew up in. And I also grew up knowing that there were lots of tension, and right when Bougainvillians decided that they didn't want the mine and found out how we were being pushed to the fringes while all these Australians had mansions and big wages. So I grew up also in that mining town, but also with the tension and the start of a war. And the pollution was a huge aspect of it. Just when the people saw what the mining company was doing, dredging whole valleys and dumping tailings into the ocean, into the rivers. Yeah, so there's no fresh water. People lived off the land, so this impacted them. So slowly, since the 60s, when they went in and decided it was Australian or Crown land, then the company came in, made millions. Lots of Australians, New Zealanders were, families were profiting off that, whereas a lot of Bougainvillians got menial jobs, factory type kind of jobs. So it all sort of happened within 20 years, this destruction of a whole land and a sort of society. So that's the Panguna mine, the catalyst for the next, 10 years of hardcore war that eventuated, and all the miners had to be evacuated. And that's when Papua New Guinea sent in their defence, the army. So my work, yeah, habitat in 10 minutes, 33 seconds.
Encapsulates everything.
Encapsulates like a lot of these sentiments and uses archives and films from propaganda, mining propaganda, and news reportage. And then I also film current footage of the land and the people. And it's in art space right now in a huge installation that's very immersive.
What was the process like going through different kind of archival materials to create this work?
Yeah, okay. So I've been documenting the whole land since 2015. Yeah, so just through friends wanting to see the damage myself. So you start in the town that I was born and you go up and over in the ridge, and it might take, 3 hours to survey the whole land in a full drive. And so anything from floating down rivers with a GoPro, seeing how what once was virgin forest is now a massive dam and 7 rivers were dammed to make one huge swamp. And now we've got crocodiles coming in from the ocean. Tilapia, the fish that is the same species that killing the Murray Darling here. These Australians thought that it'd be good to introduce that species to our place. So then that's gone wild. So this habitat for me is about exploring and documenting all of this. So I started that in 2015 from the tailings. And tailings essentially mean both wet damage, damming whole virgin forests into uninhabitable swamp sort of lands, to dry moonscape silt. Yeah, so you remove the topsoil of any beautiful virgin forest and you dig deep. That's what the mining company did to get the copper and the gold minerals, and then they crushed it, and that's what they got millions of profits of money from. But to do that, they needed to basically create this desert moonscape that goes for kilometres and kilometres, and nothing can grow on that land. So I've been filming that with all sorts of types of, aerial, with drone footage. I don't really like drones, but when I went there, the landowners, I explained to them, it'd be good to get an aerial perspective. And to do that, it's this thing with a camera on a helicopter, and they're becoming more available. And so they told me, they were like, well, don't come back without one. So I was like,
okay,
great. I had to go and buy one and teach myself how to use it. Go there and realize, yeah, actually this tool can be used to help landowners survey the damage. And currently I'm helping landowners with giving all the footage over. And they're using that to document the damage and ask for a lot of compensation.
And this work involves a collaboration with community beyond what you've just mentioned, in terms of some of the work was created collaboratively with Haku clan members. Can you tell us a bit about the process of working with those?
Yeah, that's my family. So I come from a Haku-speaking people. There are about 19 different languages in Bougainville, and Haku is one of the unwritten ones, it's basically essential to collaborate, I think, in my practice. And in art space, when you walk in, there's a lot of you turn right, I guess, if you come off the street, and you're met with Habitat, which is a 4-screen large cinema type installation. It's got a lot of sound and a lot of visuals, information over history and time coming over you. And then you go to the other room and it's an installation of sculptures made from natural materials that I've harvested from my land, my Haku land, with my clan members. The installation reclamation is sort of comes from our traditional ideas of architecture. So we are people, we are place, we are reclaiming our history, reclaiming our land. These installations are made from natural materials, which all of our buildings, all of our, I guess you could say, spaces that we create are from palm, cane, traditional materials. So working with my relatives was important because I could learn about the traditional architectures, but also keeping those relationships solid in your work and contemporary art, but also talking about values that have been passed on and holding on to that was really important. And because of that relationship between that I have living in Australia and Bougainville, of course I'm going to work with my family, yeah.
And in reclamation, another thing I'm really interested in is that you've subverted the colonial the processes of mapping land. How is this represented in the work, in the exhibition?
Well, I'd like to, in a subtle way, I guess, counter that narrative. So when you walk in, I've scanned a huge map, and you walk in, it's like, you're confronted with this colonial map-making tool, I guess. It's a huge scan. I think it's quite a few metres high and 4 metres wide. And the idea is not that you can place yourself in relationship to here in Australia, to that place, because I've blown it up. The idea is that we don't map our land. Indigenous peoples, we know the land. This idea of a map where you draw lines and demarcate and name a people, it gave the West this idea that they could go in and claim it. You know, they hold that map as a weapon. So to me, colonial map making is really quite damaging and aggressive and very patriarchal. Whereas Indigenous people, we live our knowledge of our land and we don't ever map that. We know the boundaries. We know it extends to the ocean. It extends above the land, up to the trees, all around. And it also refers back in time and in the future. So when, it's hard to explain on radio, but when you walk into the space, you see sculptures, and they're protruding from tons of, I've completely gotten rid of the gallery floor by placing 17 tons of earth on top, or soil. And this is like a, not a nice soil, it's like a uninhabitable soil, like that you see in the tailings, the topsoil. And so they sit in that, and there's a terrain in the whole gallery. And the sculptures have lines and markings inside them, which when I came up with the idea and concept, I came up with the initial idea and the feeling, but with my relatives, it takes about five hands to make one object. So we're both intuitively, or three or four of us at a time, were making these sculptures, and inside there are lines, short sticks of cane, and then lashed together. And so these symbols mean a lot to us personally. And so one of them is a flying fox in flight. And so that's my totem. So by placing that in relationship to another work which has a less formal arrangement of lines, is referring to our mapping, traditional mapping of ceremony. And then in other works relate to song and the beat, the drum beat. So there's a diamond in there, and if you hit the middle of the diamond, that's a different beat to the outside of the diamond. So there's elements of music and song and dance that come into this whole installation. Yeah, so that the idea of, like, to come back to what you're talking about mapping, is that we map time and space, as opposed to mapping land, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Just one last question. So the show's already been open for a week or so. How have the responses been thus far?
Oh, it's been pretty great.
How did your family respond, considering their collaboration?
Yeah, really well. I think family, I have some family in Australia, and definitely the family back in Bougainville, it's like pretty big because we just voted for independence from Papua New Guinea last November. So the timing is pretty great. And I think Wesley Enoch, you know, the Sydney Festival director, when he spoke, I was very mindful of calling it reclamation on Indigenous land here in Australia. And we spoke and he acknowledged that, the idea that Australia really failed Bougainvillians and created this irreversible environmental damage through mining and war for resource extraction, but that is a reflection on Australia's poor relationship with their own Indigenous people. So it became really much about looking at our relationship here, current relationships between Australia, Australian Indigenous First Peoples, and Australia and their relationship in the Pacific as being still very colonial. Yeah.